Greetings in the Lord. It is the 29th day of May in the year of our Lord 2020. You are listening to the Daily Sword, a daily guide to prayer and Bible reading produced by Sovereign King Church in Southern Indiana and on the Fight Laugh Feast Network. I pray this podcast is a blessing to you. Let us begin. Our call to repentance and worship today comes from Genesis chapter 22, verse 2. He said, "Take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you." Brothers, this is the first use of the word love found in the Bible, the first time that word is used. And what you'll notice here is that this use is the use of a love of a father for a son. A love of a father for a son. And the layers of this use go quite deep. You can mine this passage for all its worth. There's so much goodness here for us to understand. But one of the first things we know is that there's not any greater love found here on earth than the love of a father for his son. Yet, Abraham, in this passage, is being called to a higher love, a love more heavenly, and that is a love of a son for the Father. The love of God is to be supreme over all other loves, and Abraham showed it through his obedience. Now, with the love of God supreme, God preserved the son to his father. And as we see in this passage and the story in which Abraham goes to offer his son Isaac and God spares Isaac and provides a sacrifice, all of this points us to the amazing higher love of God that he has for his people, that he did not spare his son whom he loved. And so some quick applications for us and points of repentance is this. Number one, fathers are to love their sons. It is among the highest earthly or natural love there is. It is natural affection. It is a good and godly thing to love your sons. And what a shame that Satan comes to destroy this kind of love. Sadly, in our day, far too many sons do not know the love of their own fathers. And too many fathers do not lavish the love that they should have upon their sons. Men, brothers, how have you sinned in this, not loving your sons, not pointing them to the truth, not caring for them, not even telling them that you love them? But a second point of application is this, that a father's love for God must be more than their love for their sons. The love and honor and glory of God must be most in our lives. Jesus said, if you do not hate your father, your mother, your sons, your daughters, you cannot serve him, come after him. What does he mean? That the love of God must make every other love in your life pale in comparison. And therefore, fathers, when you love God most, you're going to be willing to discipline your sons, discipline your household so that they will glorify God, and you will not let the glory of God be besmirched in your household. Some people, especially in our day, claim to have love for their children, and they put that love above the love of God. And then when their sons fall into sin, grave sin, they do not discipline, especially as they get older. In fact, many people have begun to change their views on what is sin because of the sins of their children. I can't tell you how many times I've been preaching at a gay pride event. Our church goes often to those and we preach the gospel. And how many times we see a father with his son or a mother with her son promoting sin. Sin that they would have never thought of promoting just 20 years ago, 10 years ago. And so our love for God must make all other loves pale in comparison. But here's the good news. God is so pleased with that kind of love that the general promise in Scripture is that when we have the love of God first, our children are preserved. When things are put rightfully, then you have the love of God as highest. And then you have that high natural affection, that high earthly love for sons that should never be extinguished. And so, brothers, as we come to this time now to repent, let's repent where we've ever placed anything above the love of God, where we've ever put anything above His glory, pursuing natural relations, pursuing the peace and comfort of our home rather than true peace found in Jesus Christ and His glory. Let us repent as we pray today. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from You and Your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We've offended against Thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done. And there is no health in us. But Thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us, miserable offenders. Spare them, O God, who confess their faults. Restore Thou them that are repentant, according to Your promises declared unto mankind in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for His sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of Thy holy name. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on us sinners. Brothers, the Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father who loved His Son and yet sent His Son to die for the sin of sinners like you and I, that God does not desire the death of a sinner, but rather that he may turn from his wickedness and live. Therefore, he pardons and absolves all who truly repent and unfeignedly believe his holy gospel. So examine your consciences to know whether you truly repent of your sins, and whether by trusting in God's mercy and seeking your salvation in Jesus Christ alone, you're resolved to pursue holiness and to live in peace and love with all men. If that is the testimony in your hearts before God, then take great assurance that your sins are forgiven through the perfect merit of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O Lord, open Thou our lips, and our mouth shall show forth Thy praise. Open our hearts and our minds by the power of Your Holy Spirit, that as the Scriptures are read, we may hear with joy what You say to us today. Listen now to this psalm reading from Psalm chapter 83. This is the Word of God. It is eternally true and applicable for all of life. A song, a psalm of Asaph. O God, do not remain quiet. Do not be silent, and, O God, do not be still. For behold, Your enemies make an uproar, and those who hate You have exalted themselves. They make shrewd plans against Your people and conspire together against Your treasured ones. They have said, "Come, and let us wipe them out as a nation, that the name of Israel be remembered no more." For they have conspired together with one mind. Against You they make a covenant. The tents of Edom and Ishmaelites, Moab and the Hagrites, Gebal and Ammon and Amalek, Philistia with the inhabitants of Tyre, Assyria also has joined with them. They have become a help to the children of Lot, Selah. Deal with them as with Midian, as with Sisera and Jabin at the torrent of Kishon, who were destroyed at Endor, who became as dung for the ground. Make their nobles like Oreb and Zeb, and all their princes like Zeba and Zumana, who said, "Let us possess for ourselves the pastures of God." O my God, make them like whirling dust, like chaff before the wind, like fire that burns the forest, and like a flame that sets the mountains on fire. So pursue them with Your tempest, and terrify them with Your storm. Fill their faces with dishonor, that they may seek Your name, O Lord. Let them be ashamed and dismayed forever, and let them be humiliated and perish, that they may know that You alone, whose name is the Lord, are the Most High over all the earth. This is the word of the Lord, and we give praise to God. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Hallelujah. Brothers, as we think about what I have just said, we want all glory to go to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, three persons. And that glory exists forever, before time began, in the beginning. That glory is now, and it will be forever and ever. Amen. Therefore, listen to this Old Testament reading from the book of Joshua, chapter 9, verse 3 through chapter 10. This is the word of the Lord that is eternally true and applicable for all of life. When the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and to Ai, they acted craftily and set out as envoys and took worn-out sacks on their donkeys and wineskins worn out and torn and mended, and worn-out and patched sandals on their feet, and worn-out clothes on themselves. And all the bread of the provision was dry and had been crumbled. They went to Joshua to the camp at Gilgal and said to him and to the men of Israel, "We have come from a far country. Now, therefore, make a covenant with us." The men of Israel said to the Hivites, "Perhaps you are living within our land. How then shall we make a covenant with you?" But they said to Joshua, "We are your servants." Then Joshua said to them, "Who are you and where do you come from?" They said to him, "Your servants have come from a very far country because of the fame of the Lord your God, for we have heard the report of him and all that he did in Egypt, and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon, king of Heshbon, and to Og, king of Bashan, who was Ashtaroth. So our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spoke to us, saying, 'Take provision in your hand for the journey, and go to meet them, and say to them, We are your servants. Now then, make a covenant with us.' This our bread was warm when we took it for our provisions out of our houses on the day that we left to come to you. But now, behold, it is dry and has now become crumbled. These wineskins which we filled were new, and behold, they are torn. And these our clothes and our sandals are worn out because of the very long journey." So the men of Israel took some of their provisions and did not ask for the counsel of the Lord. Joshua made peace with them and made a covenant with them to let them live, and the leaders of the congregation swore an oath to them. It came about at the end of 3 days after they had made a covenant with them that they heard that they were neighbors and that they were living within their land. Then the sons of Israel set out and came to the cities on the third day. Now their cities were Gibeon, Cherepah, Beeroth, and Kiriath-Jearim. The sons of Israel did not strike them because the leaders of the congregation had sworn to them by the Lord, the God of Israel. And the whole congregation grumbled against the leaders. But all the leaders said to the whole congregation, "We have sworn to them by the Lord, the God of Israel, and now we cannot touch them. This we will do to them and even let them live, so that wrath will not be upon us for the oath which we swore to them." The leaders said to them, "Let them live." So they became hewers of wood and drawers of water for the whole congregation, just as the leaders had spoken to them. Then Joshua called for them and spoke to them, saying, "Why have you deceived us, saying, 'We are very far from you when you are living within our land'? Now therefore you are accursed, and you shall never cease being slaves, both hewers of wood and drawers of water for the house of my God." So they answered Joshua and said, "Because it was certainly told your servants that the Lord your God had commanded his servant Moses to give you all the land and to destroy all the inhabitants of the land before you. Therefore we feared greatly for our lives because of you and have done this thing. Now behold, we are in your hands. Do as it seems good and right in your sight to do to us." Thus he did to them and delivered them from the hands of the sons of Israel, and he did not kill them. But Joshua made them that day hewers of wood and drawers of water for the congregation and for the altar of the Lord to this day in the place which he would choose. Now it came about when Adoni-Zedek, king of Jerusalem, heard that Joshua had captured Ai and utterly destroyed it, just as he had done to Jericho and its king, so he had done to Ai and its king, and that the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were within the land, that he feared greatly because Gibeon was a great city, like one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai, and all its men were mighty. Therefore Adoni-Zedek, king of Jerusalem, sent word to Hohem, king of Hebron, and to Piram, king of Jarmuth, and to Japhia, king of Lachish, and to Debir, king of Eglon, saying, "Come up to me and help me, and let us attack Gibeon, for it has made peace with Joshua and with the sons of Israel." So the five kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon gathered together and went up, they with all their armies, encamped by Gibeon, and fought against it. Then the men of Gibeon sent word to Joshua to the camp at Gilgal, saying, "Do not abandon your servants. Come up to us quickly and save us and help us, for all the kings of the Amorites that live in the hill country have assembled against us." So Joshua went up from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the valiant warriors. The Lord said to Joshua, "Do not fear them, for I have given them into your hands. Not one of them shall stand before you." So Joshua came upon them suddenly by marching all night from Gilgal. And the Lord confounded them before Israel, and he slew them with the great slaughter of Gibeon, and pursued them by the way of the ascent of Beth Horon, and struck them as far as Azekah and Makkedah, as they fled from before Israel. While they were at the descent of Beth Horon, the Lord threw large stones from heaven on them as far as Azekah, and they died. There were more who died from the hailstones than those whom the sons of Israel killed with their sword. Then Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the sons of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, "O sun, stand still at Gibeon, and O moon in the valley of Ahijalon." So the sun stood still and the moon stopped until the nation avenged themselves of their enemies. Is it not written in the book of Jashar, "And the sun stopped in the middle of the sky and did not hasten to go down for about a whole day? There was no day like it before it or after it, when the Lord listened to the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel." Then Joshua and all Israel with him returned to the camp, to Gilgal. Now these five kings had fled and hidden themselves in the cave at Makkedah. It was told Joshua, saying, "The five kings have been found hidden in the cave at Makkedah." Joshua said, "Roll large stones against the mouth of the cave, and assign men by it to guard them. But do not stay there yourselves. Pursue your enemies and attack them in the rear. Do not allow them to enter their cities, for the Lord your God has delivered them into your hand." It came about when Joshua and the sons of Israel had finished slaying them with a very great slaughter until they were destroyed, and the survivors who remained of them had entered the fortified cities, that all the people returned to the camp to Joshua at Makkedah in peace. No one uttered a word against any of the sons of Israel. Then Joshua said, "Open the mouth of the cave and bring these five kings out to me from the cave." They did so and brought these five kings out to him from the cave: the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon. When they brought these kings out to Joshua, Joshua called for all the men of Israel and said to the chiefs of the men of war who had gone with him, "Come near, put your feet on the necks of these kings." So they came near and put their feet on their necks. Joshua then said to them, "Do not fear or be dismayed. Be strong and courageous, for thus the Lord will do to all your enemies with whom you fight." So afterward, Joshua struck them and put them to death, and he hanged them on five trees, and they hung on the trees until evening. It came about at sunset that Joshua gave a command, and they took them down from the trees and threw them into the cave where they had hidden themselves, and put large stones over the mouth of the cave to this very day. Now Joshua captured Makkedah on that day and struck it and its king with the edge of the sword. He utterly destroyed it and every person who was in it. He left no survivor. Thus he did to the king of Makkedah just as he had done to the king of Jericho. Then Joshua and all Israel with him passed on from Makkedah to Libnah and fought against Libnah. The Lord gave it also with its king into the hands of Israel, and he struck it and every person who was in it with the edge of the sword. He left no survivor in it. Thus he did to its king, just as he had done to the king of Jericho. And Joshua and all Israel with him passed on from Libnah to Lachish, and they camped by it and fought against it. The Lord gave Lachish into the hands of Israel, and he captured it on the second day, and struck it and every person who was in it with the edge of the sword, according to all that he had done to Libnah. Then Horam, king of Gezer, came up to help Lachish, and Joshua defeated him and his people until he had left him no survivor. And Joshua and all Israel with him passed on from Lachish to Eglon, and they camped by it and fought against it. They captured it on that day and struck it with the edge of the sword. And he utterly destroyed that day every person who was in it, according to all that he had done to Lachish. Then Joshua and all Israel with him went up from Eglon to Hebron, and they fought against it. They captured it and struck it, and its king and all its cities and all the persons who were in it with the edge of the sword. He left no survivor, according to all that he had done to Eglon. And he utterly destroyed it and every person who was in it. Then Joshua and all Israel with him returned to Debir, and they fought against it. He captured it and its king and all its cities, and they struck them with the edge of the sword and utterly destroyed every person who was in it. He left no survivor. Just as he had done to Hebron, so he did to Debir and its king, and as he also done to Libna and its king. Then Joshua struck all the land, the hill country and the Negev, and the lowland and the slopes and all their kings. He left no survivor, but he utterly destroyed all who breathed, just as the Lord, the God of Israel, had command. Joshua struck them from Kadesh Barnea, even as far as Gaza, and all the country of Goshen, even as far as Gibeon. Joshua captured all these kings and their lands at one time, because the Lord, the God of Israel, fought for Israel. So Joshua and all Israel with him returned to the camp at Gilgal. This is the word of the Lord, and we give thanks to God. O God, make speed to save us. Brothers, the Apostle Paul gave thanks for those who received the word of God, saying, "We also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers." Therefore, listen to this New Testament reading from Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 37. This is the word of the Lord. It is eternally true and applicable for all of life. While he was on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him, and they raised their voices saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." As they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to God. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Stand up and go. Your faith has made you well." Now having been questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God was coming, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There it is,' for behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst." And he said to the disciples, "The days will come when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. They will say to you, 'Look there, look here.' Do not go away and do not run after them. For just like the lightning, when it flashes out of one part of the sky, shines to the other part of the sky, so will the Son of Man be in his day. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. And just as it happened in the days of Noah, so will also be in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. It was the same as happened in the days of Lot. They were eating, they were drinking, they were buying, they were selling, they were planting, and they were building. But on the day that Lot went out from Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. It will be just the same on the day that the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, the one who is on the housetop and whose goods are in the house must not go down to take them out. And likewise, the one who is in the field must not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to keep his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. I tell you, on that night, there will be two in one bed. One will be taken, the other will be left. There will be two women grinding on the same place. One will be taken and the other will be left. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other will be left. And answering, they said to him, "Where, Lord?" And he said to them, "Where the body is, there also the vultures will be gathered." This is the word of the Lord. And we give thanks to God as we profess that we believe in God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Brothers, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Listen now to this word of wisdom from the book of Proverbs, chapter 18, verses 11 through 20. This is the word of God. It is eternally true and applicable for all of life. A rich man's wealth is his strong city, and like a high wall in his own imagination. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, but humility goes before honor. He who gives an answer before he hears, it is folly and shame to him. The spirit of a man can endure his sickness, but as for a broken spirit, who can bear it? The mind of the prudent acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. A man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. The first to plead his case seems right until another comes and examines him. The cast lot puts an end to strife and decides between the mighty ones. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and contentions are like bars of a citadel. With the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach will be satisfied. He will be satisfied with the product of his lips. This is the word of the Lord, and we give thanks to God. Let us pray. O Lord God, thou art my protecting arm, fortress, refuge, shield, and buckler. Fight for me, and my foes must flee. Uphold me, and I cannot fall. Strengthen me, and I stand unmoved, unmovable. Equip me, and I shall receive no wound. Stand by me, and Satan will depart. Anoint my lips with the song of salvation, and I shall shout thy victory. Give me abhorrence of all evil, as a vile monster that defies thy law. Cast off thy yoke, defiles my nature, and spreads misery. Teach me to look to Jesus on his cross, and so to know sin's loathsomeness in thy sight. There is no pardon but through thy Son's death, no cleansing but in his precious blood, no atonement but his to expiate evil. Show me the shame, the agony, the bruises of incarnate God, that I may read boundless guilt in the boundless price. May I discern the deadly viper in its real malignity, tear it with holy indignation from my breast, resolutely turn from its every snare, refuse to hold polluting dalliance with it. Blessed Lord Jesus, at thy cross, may I be taught the awful miseries from which I am saved. Ponder what the word lost implies. See the fires of eternal destruction. Then may I cling more closely to thy broken self, adhere to thee with firmer faith, be devoted to thee with total being, detest sin as strongly as thy love to me is strong, and may holiness be the atmosphere in which I live. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Now, brothers, may the God of peace, who wrought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equip you in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. You've been listening to The Daily Sword by Sovereign King Church. We pray this has been a blessing to you.